Okay, well, the next speaker is Joseph Lee, I think, from the University of Colorado here in Boulder. Yeah, you can wear that, yeah.
What is this for?
It's just another different mic if you don't want to use this one.
Oh, I can use that.
Yeah.
Okay. That one's also a record.
Yep. Microphones. That's right. Yep. Yep.
I can use that one.
Yep. There we go.
Hello everyone, my name is Joseph and I'm a graduate student at CU Boulder, which is 50 feet that way. My advisor is Professor Drew Lundquist, and this project is funded by Los Alamos National Laboratory IGPPS program. So past research has found that turbine wicks differs in terms of magnitude and shape, and also large eddy simulations show the same features as well. So this plot is showing that the in terms of height and downwind distance of three different atmospheric stability condition, they are convective, neutral, and stable. Where convective, the atmosphere is more turbulent due to surface heating, while stable atmosphere is more stratified. And it's usually during the night. As you can see here, the turbine wicks extend further downwind in the stable condition compared to the other two atmospheric stability conditions. And also, research has found that turbine wicks varies, changes the power production as well. So in this plot, the y-axis is showing the power deficit, which the zero power deficit means that the power production in the downwind turbine is unaffected by the upwind turbine. Or in other words, zero power deficit means that the power efficiency is 100%. The x-axis here is showing wind direction. So this plot is really showing that compared to less stable condition, the very stable condition, the turbine wicks actually produce less power production by the wind turbines. Also, the power demand over the course of the day also changes. This plot is showing the power demand projection of California in terms of power, and the x-axis showing the time of day from midnight to midnight. So as you can see here, from about 5:30 p.m. to about 7:30 p.m. of the day, the power demand increased quite quickly during this short period of amount of time. The reason of this increase of the power demand is that it's because when everybody goes home from their day-long conference, like today, they turn on the TV and they start cooking. So this increase of the power demand actually has come from the household demand, that which is important in terms of we want to study how turbine wicks behave in this evening transition, not only during the unstable or stable condition, but also in the evening transition. So the goal of my project is to validate the CFD model, WindBlade, which is developed by Nano, which simulates the wicks from blade scale to turbine array scale that needs mesoscale boundary conditions. I'm going to validate the WindBlade model using observations of individual wicks. And also, once WindBlade is validated, I'm going to use it to validate mesoscale weather research and forecasting, WRF models, wind farm parameterization. So in this presentation, I'm only going to focus on the observation and the WRF output I have done so far, which is the first part of this chain of validation. So the observations of the wind turbine wakes came from the CWEX crop and wind energy experiment 2011 that took place in a wind farm in central Iowa. While a row of turbine is represented by the blue squares, which has the hub height of 80 meters, and the row of this is at 80 meters as well. The instruments located about 2D upwind and 3D downwind, which they are the WindCube LiDARs, which are the yellow triangles in this topography map, which measure winds from 40 to 220 meters, and the flux towers, which are the red circles, measuring the temperature at 2 and 10 meters near to the surface. And so we selected three different case studies, mainly based on the upwind wind flow that is from the south, in which that the turbine wake effect can be observed by comparing the upwind and downwind instruments observations. So the three case studies we chosen are the unstable evening transition and stable case. And here in this presentation, I'm only going to classify two classes of stability, which is unstable and stable, which evening transition is changing from unstable to stable. And I'm going to also use red, purple, and blue to define these three cases throughout my presentation. So first of all, we use upper cutoff length L to classify or to identify the atmospheric stability of these three cases. Upper cutoff length L is calculated using virtual temperature, friction velocity, two constants, and sensible heat flux. So these plots I'm showing the ratio of height and upper cutoff length versus time. In the unstable case, throughout most of the day is stable since upper cutoff length, the ratio is negative. And in evening transition, the atmospheric stability changed from unstable to stable before sunset, which is here. And for the stable condition, the atmosphere remains stable overnight. And to compare the 2 meters and 10 meters temperature, which we want to classify the temperature inversion of these three cases, where temperature inversion is temperature increases with height, that for the unstable case, there's pretty much no temperature inversion, while in the evening transition, temperature inversion also developed before sunset, which is here, and temperature inversion maintained overnight in the stable condition. And next, we look at wind speed deficit, which is a primary indicator of wake effect. Here, I'm plotting the normalized horizontal wind speed difference between upwind and downwind across height and time. So for the unstable case, due to strong vertical mixing, the wake is intermittent and pretty discontinuous. And for the evening transition, the wake effect became more steady over time with a little bit of height variations. And the wake, and the wind speed deficit, which showed the wake, was the largest near hub height in the stable case. Next, we want to look at how the wind speed deficit changes with height and wind direction. So here I'm plotting on the y-axis is the wind speed deficit. The x-axis is plotting the upwind wind direction across different height from 40 meters to 120 meters. Here, here as you can see that the wind speed deficit veer with height and maximize right above hub height at 100 meters. In the unstable case, due to strong vertical mixing again, the wind speed deficit spread across all the heights and all the wind direction, and no trend is observed. While for the evening transition, the maximum wind speed deficit center around 180 degrees, whereas no no veering is observed, while maximum height is while wind speed deficit increase with height and maximize around 100 meters as well. And also, we also want to look at the turbulence intensity, which is another good indicator of turbine wakes, that the downwind condition usually has more turbulence caused by the turbine. Here, I'm also plotting the normalized turbulence intensity difference between upwind and downwind. As you can see in the unstable case, due to strong vertical mixing, the turbulence is pretty much discontinuous. It's not very strong in the downwind. And starting from the evening transition going on to stable case, the downwind turbulence gain became more consistent and became maximized again consistently near hub height. To summarize the observations result, in the unstable case, due to strong daytime surface heating and vertical mixing, the atmosphere is more unstable and the wake effect is unsteady and discontinuous. In the evening case, in the evening transition, the atmosphere switched from unstable to stable. It became more stratified over time and generate more consistent wake within the swept area of the turbine. And for the for a stable case, the wind speed deficit and the downwind turbulence gain became more consistent and perpetual and maximized at hub height. Next, I'm going to move on to mesoscale Wolf output, in which I pick three one-way nested domains, which the smallest domain center as Iowa. I also use the boundary conditions from error interim. I use 70 vertical levels to run simulations, and I also use the neural land surface model, which is pretty typical for Wolf simulations. In this presentation, I'm going to look at the stable case comparisons only, which I want to focus on comparing three planetary boundary layer schemes, which they are YSU Yonsei University scheme, the MYJ Mela Yamada Yonich scheme, and the MYNN Mela Yamada Nakanishi and Nino scheme that is necessary for wind farm parameterization. For the wind speed comparison, comparing the MYJ, MYN, and YSU in the observations, the wind speed, all three PBL schemes overestimated the near-surface winds and the aloft wind speed, especially in the early morning towards the end of the night compared to the observations. And the aloft wind speed increases slower in the MYN simulations. At the hub height, the RMSE root mean square error of MYNN is actually showing the least error compared to observations, which has the better agreement with the observations. In terms of wind direction, the MYJ and YSU simulations overestimate the westerly component, while the MYNN overestimate the easterly component, especially in the early morning near the surface. And at 80 meters, RMSE is the largest for the MYNN run. Since we lack observations of temperature near the turbine hub height, we only show the Wolf simulations comparison in this on this slide. So compared to the other two PBL scheme simulations, the MYNN simulations show the coolest atmosphere overall, and the cooling rate is the slowest as well, compared to the other two simulations. So to summarize, evening transition of wakes can cause power variations, and it also aligns with the rising power demand in the evening as everybody goes home. And when atmosphere changed from unstable to stable during evening transition, the turbine wakes became consistently stronger in terms of downwind turbulence gain and wind speed deficit. And compared to other PBL schemes, the MYNN shows stronger easterly wind and slower wind speed increase in early evening. And my next steps would be to evaluate wind blade and Wolf wind farm parameterization in evening transition. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much, and I'll take any questions.
No questions? Oh, okay, good, one. Yep. Maybe two.
Thank you for the very nice presentation. How far downstream of the wind turbine was the metamask placed? And did you also look at the other metamasks even further downstream? Did you find the effects of the wave there?
So, okay, the question is how far down was the instruments was placed? So, there's no metamask essentially, but we have flux towers, yes, further downwind. So, these are the WindCube LiDARs, which just measure the wind, and these are the flux towers, which measure moisture and temperature near the surface. So it's not going up to the turbine hub height. So the only measurements that measured the hub height observations are the WindCube LiDARs. So which is 2D and 3D, 2D upwind and 3D downwind. As I recall, I also analyzed these type of measurements, but since they're so near to the surface, pretty much when it's so further down, when the surface features pretty much dominate rather than showing the wake effect, because they're near to the surface. While wake effect can penetrate downwind, but it's nearly a kilometer away, so it's pretty far away. And yeah, did that answer your question? Yes.
Thank you.
mm-hmm. did you filter it by wind speed? That's my understanding is that wavelength changes wind speed as well.
So the question is, did I account for wind speed, or?
Yeah. So in your power deficits for different.
You mean like?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What is the range of the wind speed, or?
Does each have a range of wind speeds within? So, if all of your unstable.
Oh, you mean the upwind wind speed? You're saying? So the of course it varies over height. I think it's about the maximum. I think it's about 5 to 15 meters per second. I think all these three cases have very similar. Upwind wind speed, at least. Well, the downwind wind speed, of course, it varies a lot. While the upwind wind speed, I think, is about 5 to 15 meters per second from 40 meters to 220 meters. Here, I'm showing the normalized one because I really want to take away the upwind wind speed difference. Yeah, so... Yeah, so it's generating power, yes, if that is your concern, that, yeah, the turbine is rotating. In those conditions.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Joseph.